Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. And that's what you deserve. You deserve the best selection. We make the choices of what you enjoy and what you like. Well, that's what they have at Brewers Outlet. If you like water, soft drinks, wine coolers, all of that and much more. They also have snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And, of course, the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Hey, look, I don't care whether you're going to Bucknell or Penn State. You want to make sure your tailgate's the best one out there, and that's why you go to Brewers Outlet. I don't care whether it's the weekend or whether it's for a tailgate. They are the ones to turn to, and they get it done for you every single time. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day, a slice of drama last night.
Here's the set by Betances. Run his lead at second and third. The pitch. Swing at a high drive, deep center. Back goes Ellsbury looking up. This ball is gone! The Red Sox win it! A three-run walk-off home run. Hanley Ramirez into the center field seats. The most dramatic win of the year.
Joe Castiglione with the call last night on the Red Sox WEEI radio network. The Red Sox were down 5-2 to the Yankees last night with Betances on the mound in a game where David Ortiz knocked in a run in the ninth, Mookie Betts knocked in a run in the ninth, and it set up the three-run homer by Hanley Ramirez to win it last night. Yes, for the Red Sox, it was their biggest win of the year. They opened up a bigger lead in the East, two games over the Orioles, and it knocked the Yankees five games back in the race. Penn State and Temple coming up tomorrow at Beaver Stadium. Harry Donahue is the outstanding play-by-play voice of Temple football. Always great to cross paths, whether it's in football or basketball, with Harry over the years. Harry, welcome back. It is great to hear you, my friend.
Hey, Steve. Always a pleasure to be talking to you. Looking forward to coming up tomorrow and seeing a lot of friends up there at State College and University Park.
That's great. What do you know about Temple after the first two games that you didn't know before?
Well, I know we miss a lot of guys that were really key components of that team that won 10 games last year. And I know that quarterback Philip Walker, remember, it's not PJ anymore, although you couldn't tell all the time from our play-by-play broadcast because old habits are tough to break. But Philip Walker hasn't been the quarterback. I get it. It's only two games, but he hasn't been as sharp as he has been in the past. And on offense, we're going to be missing, we haven't seen yet, Jahad Thomas, who had a great game against Penn State last year and had a great season for Temple. He's been out with a nagging injury, and I'm not sure if we're going to see him again on Saturday. So a lot of question marks, in other words, and some guys that have to pick up their games.
I mean, there's certainly certain guys that play back there, Hood, Armstead, and so forth. But Thomas can be a difference maker. So what is the element that they miss when he's not in there?
Well, he's a cagey little back. You know, he's able to come up at the line of scrimmage and make an adjustment and find just a little bit of a seam. And last year against Penn State, a couple touchdowns. He had, 29 carries, I think, for 135 yards. And that, so far, has not been picked up, although it's maybe, and Matt Rhule will tell you this, it may be the deepest position on the depth chart, running back, with Armstead and Hood and Jagger Gardner and a true freshman who got on the field for the first time last week and will probably be on the field a lot this week, Isaiah Wright. a guy like Jahad Thomas not being able to play, that's a big loss for Temple's offense. Much like 2 years ago when Temple did not have wide receiver Robbie Anderson in school.
Huge.
And I told everybody that's 40% of their offense, either him directly or what he means in terms of getting a lot of attention and letting other guys do things. Now he's with the New York Jets as a free agent signee and made the roster. And Robbie was a major component of Temple's offense last season.
I thought Ioannidis was special last year. Mike Tomlin would give you volumes about Tyler Manicavage. Mike Tomlin loves him. So
yeah.
How difficult have they been to replace?
It's a key game, I think, early on was Army, where Army only threw five passes all in the first half, not one pass in the second half. They had a fullback out of the Lehigh Valley by the name of Davidson who rushed for over 100 yards and scored twice. And every time Army was in a third and short or even a fourth and short a couple times, if they needed a yard, they got a yard and 6 inches. Last year, that wasn't happening. Last year, guys you mentioned like Matakevich and Matt Ioannidis made sure that didn't happen. This defense hasn't come up with big stops when they needed them.
Then there's the next one, and that is Sean Chandler back with them, corner to safety, and he has another pick already this year. How special a player can he be back there?
He's pretty good. Of course, Tavon Young, who was a safety last year and was taken in the third round by Baltimore and is with the Ravens now, is the guy that they were going to miss a lot. But they took the best athlete in the secondary and tried to fill that gap, and he has. Champ is also a valuable punt return guy, and he has, it sounds like a cliche, but the old nose for the ball type of thing, and or the ball carrier. And he's made almost a seamless transition from corner to safety, which means he's covering a lot more of the field than he had to in the past. But if anybody can do it, number three is the guy that can.
How have you felt about the edge rushers? Because the edge rushers did a great job against Penn State last year.
Yeah, the defense, you got a guy like Praise Martin McWeeke on one side. You got Sharif Finch on the other. These are two guys that can create a lot of havoc. A little bit undersized, maybe. I mean, Finch leads current NCAA active players in blocked kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taken a couple back for touchdowns in his career, not yet this year. But he also did block a punt in one of the two games this season. And I've talked to him this week. He's going to be my halftime guest. And I said to him, Sharif, I said, if there was one name or one word that somebody asked me to describe you as a player, what would it be for me? And I said, it's like that TV commercial, mayhem, mayhem. That's Sharif Finch. And he's still doing that. He can do that not only on special teams, but also as a defensive end. And he's a special player. He does have a secret to getting in that at A-gap in blocking punts. He won't share it with me, though, until the season's over, he said. He doesn't want to give any of those secrets away,
no.
Steve. But he's a special, special player. A little bit undersized.
Yeah.
He was recruited as a linebacker out of Henrico, Virginia, and he has played at defensive end for 3 of the 4 years now. But he's a special player, number 56.
And another guy, too, is Praise Martin Aguica, whom I believe has 8 forced fumbles, which is tied for number one among active players, too. So, I mean, under Phil Snow, they get after it on defense.
They do, except they weren't able to come up with, like I say, those stops against Army. And, of course, Army was just running power football. They weren't trying to get outside on you. That kid Davidson, Army had the ball for almost one full quarter more than Temple did in that game, 12 minutes more in terms of time of possession. And I looked it up, I think Pitt did the same thing against Penn State last week. It was like 11 minutes,
right.
Which you can't afford to do.
No.
I mean, especially against a team, what they're going to do. But I give all the credit in the world to Army. I mean, that was a much different Army team than Temple saw a year ago. And or in the past couple times we've played them, and you got to credit that they just said, okay, we're coming right at you. All that, triple option stuff and everything. It was just the play of one guy in particular, the fullback, and they executed up front, and that was the difference in the game.
Anderson, as you mentioned, is a really tough guy to replace. I remember in the pregame last year, we probably talked about him three or four times as a potential difference maker in the game. And even if he's just running people out of there, he's a difference maker. So how have they been able to compensate, or have they been able to compensate for the fact he's with the Jets and not with the Owls?
Well, the leading receiver after two games, kid by the name of Keith Kirkwood, he actually transferred from Hawaii
yes.
a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Didn't play a lot last year, got on the field, but with Robbie out there, he was the go-to guy. And but Kirkwood has good size, about 6'3 or so. He's put on a few pounds. He has a couple touchdowns, he had a couple touchdowns so far this season. And he's a kid, I think, that is the deep threat. Is he Robbie Anderson? No, not yet. But he has the potential, as the season moves on, to be the guy that teams are going to have to watch out for, because he has decent speed and, I says, good size. The other kid, and I just said he didn't get on the field at all in the first game as a true freshman, Isaiah Wright.
Yeah.
Matt Rhule is very, very high on him. In fact, he said after the loss to Army, he said, that's my fault. We should have had Isaiah Wright on the field. Now, last week he carried the ball as a running back seven times for about 40 yards. But he's also has the ability to line up as a wide receiver, and he's got good speed and good size. He's about 6'2", 200, 205 pounds. So he's a kid that you're going to see on the field, I think, a lot on Saturday. And he and Kirkwood are probably the two maybe X factors on the offense that teams will have to watch out for.
What about Colin Thompson as a threat in the pass game as a tight end? Is he a better blocker, better receiver? I know he has one catch for 32, but...
Right. Well, he didn't play last week.
Okay.
He was injured, and he's had a nagging foot injury, actually, for a couple of years now, transferred from Florida. He's a Philly kid. In fact, he played with who's the kid from Archbishop Wood, your starting lineman, Gates,
Ryan Bates, and with Jay Cooper.
So they're familiar with him. I don't know if their paths crossed or not, but maybe a year or two together at Archbishop Wood, which is a great high school program in Bucks County. They won a couple state titles. But Thompson has good size, but he's primarily a blocker. He did have a big catch in the first game against Army, a 32-yarder.
Yeah.
But they didn't come back to him, and they, I think, primarily – see him as an extra lineman rather than a go-to receiver as a tight end.
And what about Adonis Jennings? I thought he'd be a bigger factor as time went, even last year. Has he been a bigger factor, or if not, then why?
Yeah, part of it is he's had a couple drops, and I'm getting back to Walker's situation. Walker, this year, said his goal was to try to complete 70% of his passes. Right now he's completed 46% in two games. That's not going to get it done, right? Last year he threw under 60%. He said he wanted to shoot for 70, which is a pretty lofty goal. But part of the problem has been twofold. The protection hasn't been as good because the interior of the offensive line, you have basically three new starters there between the tackles. And the other part has been some drop balls in key situations. And the guy you just mentioned, Adonis Jennings, has had a couple drops this year. So it's a combination of protection and also wide receivers not holding on to the football. And when the ball has been delivered by Walker in a very catchable situation. So Adonis and a couple of the other guys have to get a little more Velcro or something to hold on to the football.
I think you know what the high esteem Matt is held in around here, Matt Rhule. Obviously, some people wanted to talk to him last year. What has it meant to the stability of Temple football that he's locked in and right there?
Well, yeah, you're locked in, I guess, until something comes along.
Sure.
And, when you have a guy like Rhule, had a great year last year, and is done now. He's only in his fourth year as a head coach. But the one thing about Matt is, of course, he spent 6 years before this as an assistant. So Matt Rhule's been at Temple for 10 years, and that's a long time, and especially at Temple University for a guy, and it was needed because he knew the culture. When he came for the first time around as an assistant with Al Golden, of course, they were trying to turn not just the page, they were trying to turn the book
right.
and get things headed in the right direction. And Matt was a big part of that. And he left for a year after spending one more year with Steve Adazio. He went to the NFL, was coach on Tom Laughlin's staff, Coughlin's staff up at the Giants. And then he came back, of course, as a head coach when he was hired to replace Adazio. And, you know, it was a great hire because, one, he had a lot of youth and a lot of energy on his side, but he also had a lot of understanding of what goes on in North Philadelphia on the Temple campus, which, you know, is hard to explain to people on the outside. You know, they don't.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you've been around long enough to know a lot of the obstacles that Temple's had. And a guy like Rule knew where all the bodies were buried. He knew what he had to do to continue what Al Golden and Steve Adazio had tried to do in their 6 and 2 years, respectively, as head coach. So it was a big hire, and it's really paid off. What will happen in the future? God only knows.
Yeah, you and I can't predict that, but it, you know, no. At least for the moment, there's the guy.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, and he's got a pretty solid staff. Guy like Phil Snow that you mentioned
right. Is
immeasurable. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Harry, always a pleasure, as you know, my friend. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. Good broadcast. We'll talk a little bit before the game and kick it off and get things going again.
Let's see what happens.
You know what bothers me a little bit, Steve? This may be the last time in my lifetime that I see you guys. I don't know. I hope not.
Well,
in person, at least.
I mean, yeah, you know, when it comes to, like, seeing me, I mean, that, you know, there are pluses to everything.
I meant specifically doing a game.
Yeah, that's right.
I hope something changes. Maybe they can. Maybe the powers that be, and that doesn't include you and I, can work something out in the years ahead. But it's been a great rivalry. I think it's the second longest in Penn State history behind Pitt. So it would be a shame. Now, a lot of people here on the eastern part of the state, as you know, which is a feeding ground not just for students but football players included. You know, like those trips that Penn State makes here to Philly, and certainly I think we have to work it out.
Yep.
All right, bud.
I enjoy him too, pal. Thanks so much. We'll see you Saturday.
Okay, Steve. Thanks.
Harry Donahue, the play-by-play voice of Temple football. Coming up, the Mystic from the East with his predictions. Final half hour. Come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Steve Jones Show, honoring the 50th anniversary of Joe Paterno's first game as Penn State head coach on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for your tailgate tonight. Go over there now.
And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I have just picked out the winner for the Sports Bozo of the day. It is not the Bills. Firing their offensive coordinator 2 days in after the defense gave up 450 yards and 37 points, but the brother happens to be the defensive coordinator. No, no, no. Now, that was the leader in the clubhouse. Until something new emerged, you'll enjoy it. you'll enjoy it. It's good. It's a good one. In the sports world, certain people have a sense of humor, and certain people don't. So, but this will be a good one. You'll like it. And it's something related to something else we talked about earlier this week. Yeah. And there's no, you know, it's nothing to do with it. It has really, in the end, nothing to do with the game or anything like that. But we'll talk about it.
There's never a day when it's hard to search for a bozo of the day.
Oh, no, this one just surfaced as of the last hour and a half. This is a good one.
All right, time to make up ground on your brother. I'm pumped up. Ready for some picks.
Let's get straight here.
I've done zero research. None. I don't even. There are a couple games off the top of my head I remember, but that's about it. I've announced in the last 2 weeks how many baseball games? Seven, eight plus two football games. So, a lot of driving, including seeing a grandson.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. I love the dills. I love the barrels. Stock up for your tailgate, whether you're going over to Mathewson for Bucknell or to Beaver Stadium for Penn State. Stock up for your tailgate. Stock up for the weekend now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. Now, obviously, earlier I pointed out that Greg Roman, and I know Greg, had been fired as the Bills' offensive coordinator after Rob Ryan's defense gave up 450 yards, two 100-yard receivers, a 92-yard receiver, a 100-yard rusher last night in a 37-31 loss. So it really reminded me of the old Jerry Tarkanian line that the NCAA is so mad at Kentucky, they're going to put Wichita State on probation. I'm so mad at my brother Rob, I'm going to fire the offensive coordinator. Okay. Now, that was the leader until late today. And the winner is Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh does not consider a weekly depth chart any kind of laughing matter. But don't expect the Wolverines to make the Two Deep available for public consumption anytime soon. After Colorado, this week's opponent released a fictional depth chart, because Michigan doesn't. They don't release a depth chart. So after Colorado released a fictional depth chart featuring Elmer Fudd at quarterback and Vito Corleone along the defensive line, including Stewie Griffin, among others, Harbaugh told the local radio show he wasn't amused, even though he believes sharing depth charts is an antiquated practice. There's so much written about the team that's on the internet, Harbaugh said on 97.1 FM in Detroit this morning. For those of us who can or do watch the games, they're all on television now as well. We just felt like modern technology was the most accurate way of knowing what the opponent's depth chart is by looking at the previous week's film, not relying on another PR director's assessment of what the depth chart is. Okay. Jim, all you do is coach football. That's all you do. Those of us who broadcast games, guess what? We also have other jobs during the course of the week. So something like that does cut down and gives us a little advantage on the workload. And then you don't put out a depth chart, so they put out a fictional depth chart. They made fun of you. You don't like it. I'm sorry. That's the way it goes. Harbaugh did not find this particular PR director's assessment of his team's depth chart very funny. On our preparation for Colorado, we've had a hard time working humor into preparations, he said. I'm trying to imagine how many people sat around and how many hours they worked on that. Well, I don't know. My understanding was one guy, and it's one guy with a sense of humor. One. Colorado will play Michigan this week, and of course, Michigan's the heavy favorite. Penn State has Michigan next week. I already have a starter in their depth chart. Yes, I can look at film, and I can figure out numbers and things like that. So believe me, we'll get, doing it will not be a Herculean effort. But at the same time, it's always been a great professional courtesy to have, at least as a starting point. And that's what it is. It's called a professional courtesy to those of us who broadcast the games.
That's what it is. Now, if he elects not to, that is certainly his way of doing things. Fine. Obviously, we'll have to work around it. We have no choice. I'm not going to complain about it. But just because somebody made fun of you for your practice, well, we don't find this funny at all. That's okay. You're not putting out a depth chart. We don't find that funny at all either. There are a lot of things he does that I don't find funny at all. All right, Wilk, let's see. Let's bring in my brother, Kevin. Big Harbaugh fan.
You don't like him at all, huh?
Well, no, what I don't like is that is the professional courtesy part of it. I mean, that's what it comes down to for me. I mean, will I be able to work around it?
Don't you think that he does a lot just to showboat, just to bring attention to himself?
Oh,
I don't think he could care less about any of it. I don't.
Oh, he doesn't really seem to care about anybody except himself.
I know. He's a strange guy. You know, he's a good football coach for a strange guy.
Yeah, I mean, like
you
said,
spot on with Buffalo. What a joke! Jeez. Rex Ryan.
I'm so mad at my brother. I'm going to fire the offensive coordinator.
I mean, my God, the last touchdown that, what do you call it, the Jets scored?
Jets.
Nobody even touched the guy.
He
ran right through the line and just, like, skipped into the end zone. It was like, God, do you even have a defense? You know?
But, well, they're saying how the offense kept the defense on the field too long because they kept, you know, punting. You know,
well, they scored with a lot of big plays. Yeah. So,
right, but I mean, but the defense can get a three and out too, you know.
Yeah,
you can get off the field.
This is my thing. Where has Rob Ryan gone and ever been a good defensive coordinator? Who's held, what's his name, in New Orleans back?
Oh, I know. Yeah, Sean Payton. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, Sean Payton in the quarter. I'm awful with names, but Drew. The quarterback.
Drew Brees. Yeah,
Drew Brees. Who's held him back? I mean, that guy's going to hold every quarterback record in the world, but his defense has been so bad year after year, and that Rob Ryan was the kingpin of it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he did the same
Except
thing
for
Dallas,
that guy
too.
Who put hits on people.
But, yeah, yeah.
But look what happened when he went to Dallas.
Right.
Same thing. And now they let him go, and this is, what a duel. Okay, I'll shut up.
Oh, no, you're fine. No,
you're good.
But my point on Harbaugh is this, is that, you know, just because they had some fun with, you know, so in other words, essentially Colorado didn't put out a depth chart, right, which is the same thing Michigan did. I didn't find it funny. Okay, well, okay.
I love that. Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, Elmer Fudd, a quarterback. Vito Corleone, yes. Vito Corleone, a defensive tackle. Oh, yes. I do.
And we drew Elmer Fudd on the back of his seat.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We did do that.
That was mean. But, okay.
Yes, it was. But we did that. All right. Time to pick games.
Yep.
Okay. You've done a lot of research.
Oh, God, yeah.
And Sean, you've done a lot of research.
This is the most I've done so far since we've picked. Yeah, so I'm ready to go. Yeah, let's get to the college ones.
I've done none, and I don't even know what games are on there.
You should have a depth chart.
Everybody else does one.
All right, we found four pretty good college games for tomorrow. You got the 3:30 game on CBS tomorrow with Gary and Uncle Vern. Alabama and Ole Miss.
Kevin, you're the leader. You're going to go first on all of them.
That's right.
So, Kevin, you go first. Sean, second. I'll go third.
Oh, I go first?
Yep, you go first.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't know. Ole Miss played FSU really tough, and that could have gone either way. Alabama has not beaten Ole Miss in the last two tries. Ole Miss has won the game, so I'm going to say three's a charm, and Ole Miss is going to win again. They've won the last two matchups, and to me, Alabama hasn't been tested yet, and this is going to be a big test for them at Ole Miss. So, Ole Miss.
Sean, you go second.
Yeah, Kev, you're right. Ole Miss has beaten Alabama back-to-back seasons, but they only rushed 67 yards against Florida State last week. Bama has a great, fast front seven, so I'm going to take Alabama.
I would have told you a year ago that it was an absolute lock, mortal lock, that Alabama would beat Ole Miss after losing at Oxford the year before. And doggone Chad Kelly and Ole Miss beat him again. But the offensive line for Ole Miss has dramatically turned over. The defensive line for Alabama is really good. Alabama gets the call.
Can I change my pick?
Could be making the move, Steve. Here we go.
This is a make or break game. Nope, I like my pick. Okay. Alabama has trouble against good quarterbacks.
They do.
They really do. The good quarterbacks who go out there and can play, they have trouble with them. You know? Whatever. Okay, go ahead. Oh, it's my turn again.
High noon tomorrow, we've got Florida State at Louisville.
Yeah. That's the best matchup of the day. Equally matched teams. I think Lamar Jackson will be the key and will be the difference. And this is a big, big game for Louisville to really put a stamp on that they are a legitimate top 10 team. So I got Louisville.
Seminoles defense has allowed more than 20-yard pass plays, more 20-yard pass plays than any team in a Power 5 conference. Plus, they lost their star safety last week. So I'm taking Louisville.
All right.
I'm going Louisville as well. I think Florida State has more overall talent, but I really am excited to see this Jackson kid play. I won't be able to see the game, obviously, because it's opposite Penn State and Temple, but I'm going to go with Louisville. Why not?
Okay, prime time on Fox tomorrow night. You've got Ohio State and Oklahoma.
I'm not impressed by Oklahoma at all. I think Ohio State is going to have a field day with them. I got Ohio State big at Oklahoma. So.
Buckeye safety Malik Hoover leading FBS in interceptions with 3. Corner Marshawn Lattimore, 2 picks versus Tulsa last week. The young playmakers are stepping up. We're taking Ohio State.
Good.
I'm taking Oklahoma. The one thing, I think Ohio State has tremendous young talent. I mean, tremendous young talent. But I'm not sure that this is the moment for it to arrive. The game's in Norman. I'm going to go with Oklahoma, the more experience, and at home.
Wow. Right.
Same time tomorrow night. You can do a little flip back and forth between Fox and NBC. Michigan State and Notre Dame.
Notre Dame won't lose at home. I don't see Notre Dame losing at home. Michigan State's got a lot of question marks. I think it's a real tough spot for Michigan State, and I think Notre Dame wins by a touchdown.
This is the game I'm stuck on. Michigan State had a rare week 2 bye week last week. I think they're going to come in fresher. I'm just going to take Michigan State. Just throw the dart on the board.
Michigan State's defense is really good. They're really good. Malik McDowell's really good. The problem they have is that they don't have a difference maker at quarterback. Notre Dame has a difference maker at quarterback. Notre Dame at home wins, and they're going to win by double digits.
All right.
Good picks. Yeah. We're all over the place.
All right. Good. Now let's jump into some pros here. You got the rivalry renewed, the hottest new rivalry in the NFL. You got the Bengals and the Steelers. 100.9 The Valley kickoff at 1 on Sunday.
Well, I am not a Ben Roethlisberger guy, but the Steelers are deep. They're really deep. They can run. They can throw. The defense is adequate, if not pushing really good. I got the Steelers because they're at home. And the Bengals barely beat the Jets, and the Jets easily could have won that game. So I got the Steelers.
Andy Dalton was sacked 7 times last week. Now, the Steelers' pass rush is a concern. It's 0 sacks against the Redskins. So I think the key to the Steelers-Bengals on Sunday, it's the running game. The Steelers held the Redskins to 55 yards rushing. Cincinnati only had 57 on the ground against the Jets. And I think the Steelers' D-line is going to out-muscle the Bengals' O-line. I'm going Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Difference between my brother and myself on this is that I think Roethlisberger is one of the top five quarterbacks in the game.
He's a jerk.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just talking about the ability to play football.
Not my time.
But in terms of his ability to play, he's a great player. And Dalton, I think, is a good quarterback. The problem with Dalton is he's not a great quarterback. Great quarterbacks win games like these. Good quarterbacks keep you in it. Roethlisberger's the swing guy in this game. Pittsburgh wins.
Do you like him?
As a quarterback? As a quarterback, I do, yeah.
Me too.
I don't know him personally.
The way he's conducted his life, I just don't agree with.
It's not an example to America.
It's
not an example to America.
That's all.
I understand.
As his ability as a quarterback, he's excellent. So.
Okay.
All right, got time for one more here. Let's go Dallas, Washington.
Well, in my opinion, if the Cowboys let Zach Prescott stretch the field, get the ball down to Dez Bryant. They didn't stretch the field against the Giants. They threw everything under coverage, and they wouldn't let him stretch the field. If they let this guy stretch the field and put Morrison as a running back, not Zeke, not the Ohio State kid, he's not ready yet. I don't know why they let Morris on the bench. I got the Cowboys. I don't see the Redskins beating the Cowboys, so I got Cowboys.
I've got the Cowboys, too.
Yeah.
The reason I said that they should franchise Kirk Cousins is exactly what we saw on Monday night. I wanted to see him do it 2 years in a row and see if he was a one-hit wonder or not. Dallas, I think, is going to win the game. And I think a big reason why is I don't think Cousins is accurate enough to win a game like this.
Okay. There's our six for the week.
That's it? We're not doing the other one?
We're running a little short on time. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's because of me.
No, that's not your fault. Not your fault at all.
Okay, we'll do the other two, and we'll do it within 30 seconds. Okay.
Okay.
Miami, New England, your pick?
Patriots.
Okay.
Patriots. Okay, Green Bay, Minnesota.
Packers.
Okay. There we go. Okay, we got
it. So there you go. Okay, now, are you home? You're home right now, right?
Yeah, I'm home.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a call in about 10 minutes. I need a favor.
Does it have to do with metal?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. All right.
I figure I might as well take advantage of the time on the air to give you a message.
Okay.
Kind of seemed like the easiest way to do it.
Maximizing the time.
People are in their cars going, this is insane, really?
Yeah.
And they can't stop listening to it.
Kevin, Kevin, you'll love this. There are people on social media going onto our Twitter page that think you should have your own show.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Not lying. I'm not lying.
It's true. It's true. And they suggested 3 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Ted misjudged Judy.
Cuts into Judge Judy. No.
They suggested for some reason 3 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Maybe they more want you out.
That was my sneaking suspicion.
Is that the favor you want to ask?
No, it's not. Actually, it's something else.
Okay.
So I'll give you a call in a couple of minutes.
Okay. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah. Talk to you guys next week.
See you, bud.
All right. Bye.
Back with a wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Four city blocks of new Fords. Over 40,000 new trucks sold. There's only one place. One place you want to be in September for your new Ford. It's Sunbury Motors Ford. During the annual September new truck sale, choose from over 100 trucks with savings over $13,000. And new F-150 starting as low as $23,929. SMC has the right trucks in stock to handle all your towing jobs and get the best fuel economy. The F-150 has been America's number one selling truck for 39 consecutive years. consecutive years.
One is sold every 41 seconds.
Sunbury Motors has over 50 of the all-new 2017 Ford Escapes. Priced as low as $29.80. Take up to $5,000 off 2017 Ford Explorers. Starting under $30,000. And there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on all 2016 Fords, including the F-150. SMC is where you want to be for the annual September truck sale at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC, 100 years and going strong.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
The Steve Jones Show, honoring the 50th anniversary of Joe Paterno's first game as Penn State head coach on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Mike Filazzo is knocking it out of the park every week, is now getting a pep talk in the hallway from the suit. This is like going to Captain Parker's Pub in South Yarmouth and telling them that maybe I ought to change the chowder recipe. Are you nuts? What's going on here? The guy's like crushing it every single week. I'm telling you, nothing good can come of this. All right, listen to this one. A pair of thieves traveled 70 miles and donned wetsuits and flippers to empty a golf club lake of 800 golf balls, according to the owner. Sarah Barthew called officers when she spotted a suspicious vehicle on Monday evening, believing someone was trying to break into her machinery shed. But when the officers called her the next day, she heard how two men using diving equipment collected hundreds of golf balls from the lake at Manor Club in Sussex. They were able to get 800 golf balls out of the lake. They did so by wearing wetsuits, flippers, and snorkels. Are you kidding me? These guys, two guys, wetsuits, flippers, and snorkels, go into the lake to get 800 golf balls. A Staffordshire police spokesman says, we got a call at 10:15 to report a vehicle on the property. We attended and found two male occupants in wetsuits and a large quantity of golf balls in the car.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.